Hello, word nerds, and welcome to the dictionary yet again. Oh me gosh. Every day, Monday through Friday, he's coming at us with episodes. Will he ever stop? No. My name is Spencer. How are you doing? I have a question for you. Is it just me? Okay. I like to hold the door open for people. If they're nearby and I have the ability to hold it open for them when they're entering, when we are all entering or exiting or I'm leaving and they're whatever the situation is, I will hold the door open for whoever. I was leaving a restaurant and there were some people coming out behind me. So I held the door. They were right there, right behind me, not far. And so I held the door open. First one goes out. He's a child, maybe 12. His arms are sort of near his body, and he says, thanks. And he just walks. And the next kid, a little older, same thing, thanks, and just walks. And I'm still holding the door. And then the dad comes out, same thing, thanks. Doesn't grab the door, walks right out. I need to know, is it weird for me to be a little frustrated at this situation? I feel like if somebody's holding the door open for you, you grab it when you're walking out. If in that situation, you take it. You take the door so I can be on my way, and you just hold the door open for the next one, and then they take it, and then you just a streamlined process. How hard is that? This is on the parents for teaching their kids certain ways. This is something I guess I feel a little strongly about. Holding doors open for people and all the stuff that's involved with that. On a similar note, one of my friends posted a thing about all of the shopping carts that weren't put back in the corrals. And oh, we bonded over our frustration for people not putting shopping carts back in the thing. How many times? How hard is it? They were literally right next to the corral, too. Just put your shopping cart back. I put other people's shopping carts back all the time because why can't you do this? It's not hard. All right, let's stop complaining about other humans and let's talk about some words. The first word is fiend. F-I-E-N-D. Noun from before the 12th century. Number 1A, the synonym, is the number one definition for the word devil. Oh, you're being such a fiend when you don't take the door as I'm holding it for you. 1B, the synonym is demon. Very similar. 1C, a person of great wickedness or maliciousness. Maliciousness. Great wickedness. Yep. Demons, devils, buttheads. I like to call them buttheads. I don't think I've mentioned it yet, we watched the movie Wicked in the theater, and it's fantastic, and, oh boy, they really did not treat her well. They were basically calling her a fiend, but she's not a fiend. She's the good one here. They got it all backwards. Number 2, for fiend, a person extremely devoted to a pursuit or study. The synonym is fanatic. Oh, they're such a fan of all that studying that they're doing. We have an example, a golf fiend. I am not a golf fiend. Am I a fiend of anything, really? I don't know. Probably just movies and maybe other stuff. A golf fiend. They just think about golf. They talk about golf. They're practicing their swing. They're going out on the course whenever they can. And their life is just consumed with golf. I hope they're making money at it. If it's just a hobby, I mean, maybe you need to be a fiend of something else. Number 3, the synonym is the number one definition for the word addict. Ooh, the example is a dope fiend. The dope fiend is very devoted to their pursuit of dope. And they are an addict. I shouldn't be making jokes about this, but we gotta bring light and laughter to whatever situations we can. Number 4, the synonym is the number 3 definition for the word wizard. As in a fiend at mathematics. A wizard? A fiend. A fiend at mathematics. Well, you know, this fiend of mathematics, they were probably pursuing their math studies very much. And they got real good at the math. And so they're just so good at it. They're like a wizard with the numbers. You ask them what 2 + 3 is, and they're like, it's 5. I know that stuff. Did I get the right answer? Okay, what does the etymology say? Old English fiend akin to the old High German fiant, which means enemy. From Sanskrit piati, which means he reviles, revels, reviles, or also he blames. So, I can't think of that connection, but yes, the first one was enemy. Maybe they're not your friend, which is almost spelled the exact same way. They are your enemy, and you don't like them because your personalities clash, and so you think of them as a devil or a demon, or they're wicked or malicious. Not necessarily, not at least back in the olden days when this word was being used. Okay, fiend. Do I have any fiends, any enemies? No, I don't think so. I mean, there are people out there who I would call as fiends, but I don't know them. What's the sound effect today? It's going to be wah. The next word is fiendish. This is an adjective from 1529. Number one, perversely diabolical. Whoa. As in, took a fiendish pleasure in hurting people. Oh, that's terrible. Perversely diabolical. That is a very short, succinct way to describe this type of person. A fiendish person, yes. Hurting people, hurting animals, that's even more fiendish to me. Number two, extremely cruel or wicked. Yep, we're seeing a lot of similar stuff here. Number three, excessively bad, unpleasant, or difficult, as in fiendish weather. Oh, that fiendish weather. It's so diabolical. Those hurricanes and earthquakes are fiendish. Anything else? I don't know. I think you get it, right? You understand fiendish. Fiendishly is an adverb, and fiendishness is a noun. Hua! Now we have the word fierce. Fierce. The etymology makes it more look like it's fierce, but I say fierce. Adjective from the 14th century. Number 1A, violently hostile or aggressive in temperament. That's extreme. You're very fierce when you're temperament. Sometimes your temperament, you get so aggravated by everything, you become fierce. 1B, given to fighting or killing. And the synonym is pugnacious. I don't typically think of this word in this way, but, you know, it makes sense. Yes, something like a fierce creature, a fierce cougar, John Cougar Mellencamp, a fierce puma, jaguar, any one of those big cats, they are very fierce. 2A, marked by unrestrained zeal or vehemence, as in a fierce argument. Everybody was arguing in a very fierce way because they were unrestrained in how vehement they were when they were trying to get their point across. I don't care for fierce arguments. I am not confrontational. So once the argument gets, before it gets to be fierce, I'm out of there. I'm bolting out. Number 2B. Extremely vexatious, disappointing, or intense, as in fierce pain. This pain is vexing me. Oh, I'm so vexed by the pain. Disappointing. I'm disappointed by this pain. or it's intense. I, not that long ago, had some extremely fierce pain in my back. Anytime I moved, my lower back just seized up. It was a fierce seas. I hated it. Okay, now we have number three. Furiously active or determined, as in make a fierce effort. Very good. Number four. Wild or menacing in appearance. Yeah, maybe that we're talking about the big cats there again. Those fierce cats. You know, there are people who I think like to use this word to describe themselves or other people. And I don't know if any of these definitions really fit. You know, I think of drag queens, first and foremost, who are fierce in what they say and what they do. But I don't know if any of these were quite like that. I mean, maybe kind of furiously active or determined. That one's kind of fierce in that way. But that's the kind of fierce that I think is much, much better for humans. I appreciate some fierceness, which is a noun. Okay, we have synonym information for fierce. Oh, wait, first, let's look at the etymology. Oh, it is from the Latin ferus, which means wild or savage, akin to the Greek word ther, which means wild animal. So that's where this all comes from. Rawr. Okay, fierce, ferocious, barbarous, savage, and cruel mean showing fury or malignity in looks or actions. Fierce applies to humans and animals that inspire terror because of their wild and menacing aspect or fury in attack. As in, fierce warriors. Ferocious implies extreme fierceness and unrestrained violence and brutality. As in, a ferocious dog. Barbarous implies a ferocity or mercilessness regarded as unworthy of civilized people, as in barbarous treatment of prisoners. Could you also say barbarous? I think it's barbarous, like barbarians. Barbarous implies a ferocity or mercilessness regarded as unworthy of civilized people. Oh, once you are starting to act barbarous, you are not civilized anymore. You are back with those old barbarians of yesteryear, and we have grown so much more civilized since then. Please, grow up. Savage implies the absence of inhibitions restraining civilized people filled with rage, lust, or other violent passion, as in a savage criminal. Savage implies the absence of inhibition. So a savage criminal has no inhibitions, is what they're saying. They're not civilized, filled with rage or lust or other violent passions. They are very passionate for the violent things. Cruel implies indifference to suffering and even positive pleasure in inflicting it, getting pleasure in inflicting pain. And you don't really care if people are suffering a lot or not. As in, the cruel jokes of schoolboys. Schoolboys, not just boys, girls, anybody, just humans, school humans. They don't quite realize when they're being a bully. Sometimes they do, but I think that they just... What is it? What's going on in their little brains? They're still growing, they're still learning. So, you know, to a certain extent, you got to sort of let it go, but it's a teaching moment when they are using their cruel jokes. We were at the torture museum in Bruges earlier this year, and there was a lot of cruel stuff going on in there. And it's fascinating to learn about. It's obviously really hard to learn about and think about. Like, there were humans who were put in these situations, and I can't even comprehend A, going through that myself, or B, the barbarianism, the barbarousness of the people who were putting them through it. But it was a lot of like religious stuff and like, oh, you don't fit with our religion. You're doing things, you're acting certain ways. And then they tortured them and often killed them. Not cool, but it is cruel. Okay, let's move on to fiercely, adverb from the 14th century. Number one, in a fierce or vehement manner, as in fiercely competitive. This is not me. So many people out there are fiercely competitive. They want to win so bad. And I'm like, let's all tie. Number two, to a high degree, the synonym is very, as in fiercely expensive. Oh, wow. When I saw the price tag of that thing, I was like, what? That is very fiercely expensive. Hua! Now we have a word. I think I will pronounce it correctly. Fiery facious. I think that's it. This is two words. First word, F-I-E-R-I. Second word, F-A-C-I-A-S. Fiery facious. What is this? What is this? Noun from the 15th century. It is a writ, W-R-I-T, a writ authorizing the sheriff to obtain satisfaction of a judgment in debt or damages from the goods and chattels of the defendant. Oh, such an old school thing from the 15th century. It's authorizing so the sheriff gets this fiery facious to obtain satisfaction of a judgment in debt or damages. Ah, that's worded silly. Can you word it in a better way for my brain? From the goods and chattels of the defendant. So the defendant is the one that's saying that I didn't do a bad thing. Authorizing the sheriff to obtain satisfaction of a judgment. So the sheriff, when they have this thing, they're allowed to get the judgment in debt or damages from the goods and chattels of the defendant. They got to go get some stuff from the person who's trying to defend themselves because the sheriff has this fiery facius. All right, what does this say where this is from? It is Latin, of course, and it means cause it to be done, or just cause to be done. And so I guess that means that when the sheriff has this fiery facius, ooh, your face is so fiery, when they have this, that means that they have cause, they have a reason to go do this thing. Is this like a warrant to go search your house? Is that what it sort of turned into? I don't know. I've never heard of a fiery facius, but I hope the sheriff never gets one on me. I'm too fierce for that. Okay. Ooh, wah. Now we have the word fiery. It is a similar word to the previous one, but it ends in a Y, F-I-E-R-Y, adjective from the 13th century. Number 1A. Where is it? Here it is. Consisting of fire. Anything that just consists of fire, it's fiery. A jar consists of fire. There's fire inside. It's a fiery jar. I don't know. That was a terrible example. Consisting of fire. Okay. 1B. Marked by fire. How is that different from consisting of fire? I don't know. The example is a fiery crash. Two cars hit each other, the gasoline poured out, there was a spark, it lit the gasoline, and then everything caught on fire. And so it was a fiery crash. That crash was marked by fire. 1C, using or carried out with fire. Using fire, carried out with fire, fire, just all the fire stuff. 1D, liable to catch fire or explode. The synonym is flammable, as in a fiery vapor. So this thing has the potential to catch on fire or explode. A vapor, you got to be careful of some of those gases because they can be flammable. Oxygen, just pure oxygen, I think, is a fiery vapor. Hydrogen, probably. Yes, definitely. Helium, I think. A lot of those gases. Are there any gases that are not fiery? I know the gases that we living creatures let out of one of our ends is also fiery. Methane or methane? Okay, now we got number 2A. Hot like a fire. Ooh, ooh. When I touch your skin, it goes tss, because you are fiery. You are hot like a fire. Number 2B1. Being in an inflamed state or condition, as in a fiery boil. Are we talking about the water that's boiling when you want to make the pasta? The water is in an inflamed state with the flames. Number 2B2. Feverish and flushed, as in a fiery forehead. Oh, you've got a temperature. When I put my hand on your forehead, you feel like you are on fire or flamed. You're flushed. So you are fiery. Number 3, of the color of fire. Of the color of fire. The synonym is red, as in a fiery sunset. I would like to also include oranges and yellows and maybe purples in that fiery sunset. We saw a little bit of a good sunset yesterday. There were some clouds. If you don't have clouds, then the sunset or the sunrise doesn't typically look as cool. But once you got the clouds in the right position, the right distance, the right height, and the sun rays are coming at that angle to hit the clouds just right, oh, it gets so fiery and beautiful. Number 4A. Full of or exuding emotion or spirit, as in a fiery sermon. It's like they got a fire under their butt, and they're so excited about what they're saying. They're very emotional. They have so much spirit. Oh, I don't know where I was going to go with that one. I'm giving a fiery sermon about the dictionary. I'm so excited. What else are we so excited about? 4B is easily provoked. The synonym is irritable, as in a fiery temper. I had a little bit of a fiery temper when I was younger, but I think I'm good now. I think I've chilled out quite a bit. Fierily, how do you say this word? Fierily. Fierily, that is an adverb. Fieriness is a noun, and fiery is an adverb. It's from fire, if you could not tell. Although, I should point out, if you didn't notice, that it's spelled differently than fire. Fire is F-I-R-E, and fiery is F-I-E-R-Y. We switched the E and the R for some reason. I don't know why. Okay. Now we have fiesta. Noun from 1844. The synonym is festival. And specifically, it is a saint's day celebrated in Spain and Latin America with processions and dances. This is a Spanish word from the Latin festa, and there's more at the word feast. So at these festivals, you're celebrating just lots of stuff, and you often have a feast. But I think these days, at least here in America, when we hear the word fiesta, say the word fiesta, what's the word that you think of? That's right, it's the word party. That's what I think of. A fiesta is a party. But according to the dictionary, specifically, it's for a festival. Not just a small little party of a few people hanging out, or even 10 or 20 people. No, it's a festival. That's a fiesta. Wow. Now we have an abbreviation. Do you say FIFA? FIFA? I don't know. It's F-I, second word F-A. And it is an abbreviation for fiery facias, which is the writ that the sheriff gets, and you abbreviate it to a fifa. I don't know how they use this in context. Now we have fife, F-I-F-E. Noun from 1539. It is a small transverse flute with 6 to 8 finger holes and usually no keys. So there are holes to put your fingers on to play the fife. But the flutes have keys where you press a button and then a key closes the hole or opens the hole, depending on what the case may be. But the fife usually has no keys. The fife usually has no keys, and you play it like this. Those were not the right finger motions. This word is from the German fife, spelled P-F-E-I-F-E, which means pipe or fife. From Old High German fifa, from Vulgar Latin pipa, which means pipe. And there's more at the word pipe. So there are lots of examples where P's and F's are connected somehow. They sort of look the same. With the P, you got the straight up and down part, and then you got the curved thing. But if you just cut out that arc there, then it becomes an F. And so visually they look kind of similar, and you can spell in English, you can spell things with a PH, which is an F, a F sound. And this German, it starts with a PF right there. Just put them together. Pfife. But you don't really say the P sound, I guess, so much. You just say fife. So yeah, it seems like there was an evolution that happened with the P's and the F's, and they got all mixed together. And then they're like, eh, you could just use them for anything you want. Okay, what is next? We got another one. Don't really know what I'm trying to do here with the sound. We have fife rail, R-A-I-L, two words, noun from circa 1800. A rail about the mast near the deck to which rigging is belayed. And we are talking about a boat with sails and masts and ropes and gears and stuff. So it's the fife rail, and I don't know, is it like a pipe? I don't really know why we're using the word fife here. But it is a rail, so that part makes sense. Okay, last word. It's FIFO or FIFO, if you want to say it out loud. It is all caps F-I-F-O. Abbreviation for first in, first out. This is something that people who usually work in the food business learn about. I think I was working at a cafe when I learned about this one, where, you know, we had a little cooler with soda bottles and stuff like that, and bottles and cans and whatever. And so when you go to refill it, you have to pull out the row that's already there and put the new ones in the back. So you're getting rid of the old ones that were already there. Those were the first ones that were in, so those are going to be the first ones that come out. FIFO or FIFO? FIFO. It's a very important thing to learn about. And, you know, grocery store people, they put all the new stuff in the back. There should be a whole new phrase. It's P-N-I-B. PNIB. Put new in back. I think that's one that we should start. Okay. Anything else? Nope. Don't forget about FIFO. Here we go with the words. Today we had fiend, fiendish, fierce, fiercely, fiery, facious, facious, yes, fiery, fiesta, fifa, fife, fife rail, and FIFO. I think this is a place that I should mention that because I'm a fan of the movie Labyrinth, there are those orangey-reddy characters called the Fieries, and I think they spell them with an F-I-E-R-I-E, maybe? They're the Fieries, and those are the ones that they take off their head, and they take off their arms, and they take off their legs, and their whole bodies come apart, And it's a very silly scene in the labyrinth with the Fieries, but they're very fun and goofy and silly, and I quite enjoy them. And they're beautiful puppets, too. And the process of how they made that effect was kind of intense, and they had to be really careful about everything. Okay, so which one do I like to be the word of the episode? I think let's just pick fiercely as the word of the episode. Going about my day fiercely. Don't you look at me funny, I'm acting fiercely. Yeah. Okay, that's it for that. I'm going to tell you about a movie we watched Mamma Mia, because Sharon had never seen it, and somehow I had seen it before, and I think she likes the ABBA music and knew that it would just be a fun movie, and it's just a very fun, kind of silly musical about a young woman who is going to get married on a Greek island that she lives on with her mom, and she doesn't know who her dad is. And so she invited them to the wedding to see if she could find out who her dad is. And you just have to watch the movie or the show to find out, although most of you have probably already seen it. Sharon's question was, why doesn't she have an accent? If she's grew up on this Greek island and there are a number of local Greek people who I assume speak some English, but mostly probably speak Greek, and she probably would have picked up their accent. Now, granted, her mom is Meryl Streep, and she has an American accent, so she's getting a lot of it from there. But, you know, maybe she would have had a little bit of a Greek accent. I don't know. Who cares? It's fun. That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information in a fierce way. Goodbye.